Hallelujah. How many glad to be in the house of God tonight? Praise God. God been good to anybody this week?
Yes.
Has he watched over anybody? Has he put bread on anybody's table or just mine? He's a good God, isn't he? He's worthy of our highest praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, don't you appreciate Patrick, the whole team leading us in worship tonight, leading us into the presence of God. Appreciate all of them. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's just look to the Lord. Father, thank you so much tonight for this opportunity to share from your amazing word. We know you said in Isaiah 55, you never send your word void where it's void and returns without accomplishing the purpose with which you intended it. And Father God, you laid a word on our heart tonight. And so we just believe with all our heart you have an intention for this word in the life of everybody listening to us, whether live in this service or listening over a live stream or some other venue. And so, Father, we thank you for the mighty, mighty word of God and declare now that we shall be changed by your word. And Father, as we hear this word tonight, we apply faith to the mighty word of God so that we can get the benefit of your word, the power of your word. We release our faith, expecting you to speak to us, expecting you, Father God, to speak unto all of us corporately and then individually with personal and relevant application. And so we just thank you. Thank you. Now, you know, we've prepared ourselves, Father God, but we also ask you for unction and utterance as we speak tonight, the unction and the utterance. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. Also, we just thank you again, blessing our pastors, keeping them, their family, keeping all of them safe, guarding them, helping them to get renewed, refreshed, all of those good things. We'll be careful to give you the praise for all that you that is wrought here in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have your Bible, and if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 11 is where we're going to go first. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. But while you're turning to 2 Corinthians 11, 23, I'm going to show you a video clip in a moment here, and the year takes us back. I'll just set it up for you, but the year takes us back to March of 2005, 11 years ago this month. During what is known as March Madness, which is going on right now, of course, all of the basketball tournaments across the nation. And a young man, Darius Washington Jr., is playing for the Memphis Tigers. And Memphis is playing in 2005, March Madness. They're playing the sixth-ranked Louisville Cardinals. And it is at the closing moments of the game, something devastating happens in the closing moments of this game. Memphis, if they win the game, they're going to receive a berth to the NCAA National Tournament. It's one of the biggest things in college basketball to be able to go to that tournament. And they're down, I think, 75 to 73. Yes, they're down 75 to 73. And after the final shot that the Cardinals take, you'll see what happens, but Memphis winds up with the ball with 6 seconds. The ball winds up in the hands of this young man, Darius Washington Jr. If we could show that 3 minute, 42 second clip. We don't have the video. Okay. Let me act the video out for you. I'm sorry. Yesterday they said they had it, so I'm sorry. It must have been some kind of technical difficulty. Well, let me tell you what happens anyway. Okay, so there's 6 seconds left on the clock. The score is 75 to 73 in favor of Louisville. And Louisville's got the ball. They shoot the ball and miss. The ball is rebounded by Memphis and given to this young man, Darius Washington Jr. He dribbles through all of the Louisville Cardinal players. Their coach, Louisville's coached by John Calipari. And Darius dribbles through all of them almost the length of the floor. He gets through the three-point line. There's someone covering him, and he pulls up behind the three-point line. And as the clock winds down to zero, he shoots the ball 22 feet and misses. But someone from the Louisville Cardinals accidentally touched him as he was shooting from behind the three-point line, and the ref blows the whistle as time winds out. And there's zero time on the clock. The ref has blown the whistle. The foul still counts. And young Darius gets to go to the line to shoot three free throws. Now, they're only down 2 points. So, if he makes two, then they're going to overtime. If he makes three, they're going to the NCAA tournament. And the ball is in the right man's hands. Darius is a baller. He's got a 73% free throw shooting at that time, 73% free throw shooter. And Darius grew up with his dad in the gym working out. Oftentimes growing up, he and his dad would make him shoot 300 free throws, make him make 300 free throws a day. In his story, he says that happened oftentimes. His dad would not make him shoot 300, make him make 300. And so as he's fouled in the video clip, I wish you could see, he's fist pumping and nodding his head. He's excited. And he looks over at his Memphis teammates, and they are, you know, they're breathless. They're playing in the FedEx Forum. There are 10,500 people in the crowd that day. And there are millions more watching it live on TV. And Darius whispers to his teammates over at the bench, "I got this." He steps up to the line and shoots the first one. It's a swan. It swishes right in. They're only down one. If he makes one more, they go to overtime. If he makes two, they go to the NCAA tournament. And the players are linked arm in arm. They say, you know, you look at the people and the people are like breathless. Darius's coach is wondering if he should, I said Coach Calipari was coaching Louisville. He was coaching Memphis. Coach is wondering if he should call, you know, if he should call a timeout after Darius made the first shot. But he thought, no, he's got it. He knows what he's doing. And Darius goes back to the line and he shoots the ball. The ball fades right, bounces off the rim. He missed the second shot. He's got one more, though, and he turns to his teammates and he whispers to them, "Overtime. We're going to overtime." He steps back up to the line confidently, and Coach Calipari is wondering, should I call timeout? He says, the coach later says, "I didn't have any time to even think about it. I'd never been in this situation before in all of my basketball experience. I'd never been in." The video's ready. Okay, well, let's watch the video. Is the video's ready? And then I'll finish it. Come on. Okay. All right. I'm glad you can see it. Okay.
He's 8 for 8 for the year. Make it 9 for 9. How about that substitution? 6'1" sophomore from Alpharetta. And he's trying to go 10 for 10 for the year. Nope. Gotta go in a hurry. 2-point game. Washington.
Well, he got hit.
Foul on Garcia.
He got hit. You can see all the sparks you want here with Washington, because in air, once again, he's found a way to make contact.
There's Garcia. And he will go to the line where he is 2 of 3 today.
And they're going
to
check where he's going to shoot it from there.
Exactly.
The quick look like it may have been a three. Here's, this will give us a look. Both behind right there. He's in air. He can cross that line in air. That's not a problem.
Darius Washington will go to the free throw line for three shots.
He's shooting three.
And do the quick math, folks. They're down two. 73 plus three equals a win. And he's a freshman.
For the season, 72%. If he hits three in a row, Memphis goes to the NCAA championship. Oh. Two to go.
Boy, does that take the pressure off right now. He's got to go 1 for 2 for a tie. You can't describe the pressure here. Vern, I will be hard-pressed to tell you right now that if you'll see a more pressurized situation this year in this tournament as we're watching right here.
Tournament's on the line. Louisville wins.
So Somebody's got to go help that kid out.
And the first man there is John Calipari.
Please remain in your seats.
He needed three. He could convert only one. And sadly for Darius Washington Jr., you've seen a moment that he will never, ever forget. He hit the first. He missed numbers two and three. Louisville wins the Conference USA Championship. They will advance to the NCAA tournament. The season has come to a close for the Memphis Tigers. So for Jim Spanarkle, I'm Bert Lundquist saying so long from Memphis, where the final score dramatically 75-74. Coming up next, the Big Ten semifinal. Minnesota takes on top-ranked Illinois.
You know, after that game, and Darius felt like he had let everybody down when he, you saw him bury his head into his jersey, and he laid down on the floor, and when they went to break and came back, he was still on the floor. They couldn't get him up. Coach Calipari tried to get him up, and he had to finally go shake hands. They couldn't get him up. He was so hurt. He was so discouraged. His teammates finally dragged him off the floor and to the side of the bench. And he finally heard in his ear a familiar voice. It was the voice of his father, Darius. Same name, his father's same name. And his father told him, come on, son, get up. We have to face it. You're going to get through it. You're going to make it. You have to get up. We're going to go and shake hands, and then we're going to talk about it. And with the voice of his father in his ear, he got up. And he shook hands. And Coach Calipari escorted him and his father at the FedEx Forum. He escorted them to an obscure part of the building where there was a lonely room. The rest of the team went to the locker room. At the door of the lonely room, Coach Calipari told his dad, you love him, and I'll coach him. And he left the two of them alone. And his dad told him in that room, son, you're going to make it. You have to face it, but you're going to make it. I know you're disappointed. Darius, young Darius, said, I quit, Dad, I quit. I'm never playing basketball again. I let everybody down. I let myself down. I quit. It's over. I quit. His father said, no, son, you can't quit. You can't quit. You can't give up. And so he went on and got showered up. He stayed in the shower 90 minutes. Coach Cal checked on him, kept checking on him. He yelled from the shower, coach, I quit. And with that, they went back to the hotel room, him and his dad. When they got back to the hotel room, his dad told him, son, you got to get back on the horse. And he said, Dad, I can't. And his dad went over and he turned on SportsCenter, ESPN, he turned SportsCenter on. And they were showing that clip over and over and over again with young Darius buried in the floor. And his dad told him, get up and watch it. Get up and watch it. He made him look at it. He said, Dad, I don't want to watch it. He made him watch it again and again and again and again. And after they watched SportsCenter, they watched the clip over and over again. Then his dad said, get dressed. He said, what do you mean get dressed? They're in Memphis, Tennessee. The most famous street in Memphis is Beale Street. Everybody's out on Beale Street. And his dad said, get up. We're going to Beale Street. He said, oh, no, Dad. Oh, no. He said, people will see me. People will recognize me. My face is all over TV. No. His father said, get up and get dressed. We're going to Beale Street. They couldn't get out of the hotel before somebody recognized him and said, you're the boy who missed those shots. And he said, yeah, I did. And he said, that's all right, man. We were pulling for you. They got out there to Beale Street. Somebody else asked for his autograph and said, man, you know, can I tell you how many mistakes I've made in life? He met somebody else. They said, you know, man, I blew free throws too. And later, professional player Isaiah Thomas called him and encouraged him And one of the professional coaches saw it on TV. Their hearts went out to the kid, called him, encouraged him. And this devastating, as the announcer said, he will remember this the rest of Vern Lundquist. He will remember this the rest of his life. Vern laid it on. But the thing is, he was able to overcome this biggest of all basketball mistakes. And he went on to have success all over the world playing basketball. He eventually wound up playing with the San Antonio Spurs. And he was able to get back on the horse and overcome adversity. The next year, even his next year, he had a tremendous year. He had a 19.5 shooting average and just was on all kinds of conference teams and just had outstanding basketball life. What's your point here, preacher? You've taken a long time to make this point. What is it? It's also tied into my sermon title tonight, which is Overcoming the Voice of Disappointment. Overcoming the voice of disappointment. Believe it or not, disappointment does have a voice. And disappointment, the voice of disappointment can be heard. Even in young Darius saying, I quit. I quit, Dad. He told his coach, I quit. It's all over. I can't face it. I can't face it. You may be in a tough situation tonight. You may be going through a tough situation. You may be thinking it's all over. I can't. The voice of disappointment will tell you, give up. The voice of disappointment will tell you, throw in the towel. The voice of disappointment will tell you, you can't make it. The voice of disappointment will tell you, that happens for everybody but doesn't happen for you. The voice of disappointment will tell you, you are not going to receive the outcome of your faith, what you're expecting and believing. The voice of disappointment will try to discourage you to get you to quit. But tonight we're talking about overcoming the voice of disappointment. And let me tell you this, there are three key qualities. If you're going to overcome disappointment, we all face disappointment from time to time. I don't know anybody I've ever met who's been a Christian for any length of time that hadn't faced disappointment in some part of their life sometime. And we feel like tonight we've waited on the Lord and asked the Lord what to share and waited on him and read and asked him what to share and waited on him and asked him what to share. We just felt impressed. This is the direction we should go tonight. So we know that there are people here dealing with disappointments. Close your eyes for me for just a moment while you sit there. Close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment. Lift your hand. You're dealing with disappointments. Let me just see your hand. You're dealing with disappointments. Okay, yeah. Just put your hands down. Put your hands down. Okay, just all. Yeah. God's talking to you. You can open your eyes. God's talking to you. And the thing about it is, tonight, through his word and through his spirit, I can guarantee you that you can successfully make it through whatever trial or obstacle you're facing if you'll do these three things you need. These three qualities the Bible speaks of. What are those qualities? Number one, joy. Number two, endurance. Number three, wisdom. Say that with me, joy, endurance, wisdom. Let me tell you, my friend, we need all three of those, but if we will get joy, if we will develop endurance, and if we will operate in wisdom, there's nothing you're facing that you won't come over, get over, and get the victory from. 2 Corinthians 11:23, where I told you to go at the beginning. 2 Corinthians 11:23, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Paul is talking about setbacks and disappointments. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the city, in the desert, on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And then beside all of this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. If anybody knew something about being disappointed, it was Paul. But let me ask you something. How did Paul make it through all these trials? He lists a few of the trials. I don't think he lists all the trials that he went through in his life. He lists a few of them. How do you think he made it through all of those trials and circumstances? Because for everything he listed, he overcame it. Sometimes we look at that list, we read that list, and we think that Paul must have said, okay, well, whatever happens to me, kumbaya, kumbaya. Second line, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. That's not how he overcame. Let me tell you, Paul overcame each of those adversities, from being beaten to being stoned to being adrift, a night and a whole day at sea. How did he overcome that? He overcame each of those because he succeeded in counting it as joy, number one, in exercising his faith, number two, and in asking God for wisdom, number three. And these three things, as I say, will bring you out of any problem. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. First from the New American Standard. And then I don't think we'll have time to do all three verses of comparison, but we'll do at least two. James chapter 1, starting at verse 2 from the New American Standard. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I want to read those same verses now from the New Living Translation, James chapter 1, starting at verses 2 through 8. New Living, same verses, New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled, as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They're unstable in everything they do. And those verses that we read to you, we noticed those three words: joy, endurance, and wisdom. In preparing for this message, those words leaped off of Scripture to me in preparation for this message. Those three words: joy, and endurance, and wisdom. And he said, in the New Living, he said, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. In the New American Standard, he said, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, not if you do, when you do. And he said, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. There are some things that we just want to remind you of tonight. So first of all, let's consider these three things that we're mentioning. Number one, count it all joy. Count it all joy. He said, when you have different opportunities coming at you, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Count it all joy. Let me say this about joy. Joy, my friend, is a decision. Joy is not a feeling. I'm going to say that again. That was so good, I'm going to say it again. Joy is a decision. Joy is not a feeling. Now when you make the right decision, and when you step in faith in God's word, the right feeling will eventually catch up to joy. But oftentimes when you make a decision to have joy, there's no feeling to accompany it. But if you'll stay in faith, the right feeling will catch up to the train. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is a decision. And so you have to renew your mind. Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, of course. And go with me to Acts 16 now. Acts 16, New Living Translation. Acts 16, starting at verse 22. Talking about this consider it an opportunity for great joy, the New Living Bible said. You know, trials and obstacles come against you. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. And I'm telling you, joy is a decision. Over here in Acts 16, verse 22, New Living, it says this: a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas. The city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, everybody say around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. The prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open. The chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. That's the voice of disappointment. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" In that prison cell, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of being beaten with rod, feet, hands and feet fastened in the stocks, what did they do? They made a decision. They made a decision to have joy. How did they get the joy? How did the decision pan out? Well, they started singing hymns of praise to God. And that's one way to get joy. You know, it's one way to get joy. You just start singing to the Lord, singing to the Lord, ministering to the Lord. I tell you, joy, you'll have joy. You need to consider it joy. You're going through a temptation, test, trial, whatever it is. Consider it joy. Count it joy. Oh, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy. One thing about joy, joy will change your attitude. The moment you start saying, I have joy, your attitude will change. You'll straighten up. Your back will straighten up. When you make a decision for joy, to have joy. And so they began to sing to the Lord. They began to sing to the Lord. You know, over in Ephesians 5:18, it says this: don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. I tell you, joy will get you through your situation. When you make a decision to have joy, you have to tell yourself, I have joy. Tell yourself, I have joy. I have joy. I'm going to be joyful about it. I'm not going to be sad about it. Not going to be sad. Sometimes you just have to talk to yourself. Tell yourself, I'm not going to have disappointment. I have joy. You have to tell yourself, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You have to tell yourself and talk to yourself and make your body and your mind line up with your spirit. I wish I had an amen in here. Joy is a decision you make. But the right feeling will eventually accompany it. Oh, yes, it will. Secondly, first we said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Secondly, I'm saying, exercise your faith. Now, why are we saying that? That's the second thing we're saying will bring you out of any problem. If you combine the decision to count it all joy with, secondly, the decision to exercise your faith. What's so important about the exercise of faith? Well, he said there in James that the exercise of faith produces endurance. Endurance is what keeps you and I from quitting. Endurance is what keeps us going when things get tough. Endurance is a quality that we see in the early church. Those early believers, if you're looking for differences in their life, they had this quality of endurance. They refused to quit. They just refused to give up. It was dark sometimes. They were in trouble sometimes. Their lives were in danger sometimes. But they just refused to quit. They had an endurance that enabled them just to keep on going. Endurance. And the Bible says that when our faith gets exercised, that the result, the product is endurance. And see, Paul over in 2 Timothy, at the end of his life, you remember he said, "I've run my race." He said, "I finished my course." With joy. He said, "I've run my race. I've finished my course." He said, "There awaits for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord's going to award me on that day." What's he saying? I endured it all. When we read there what he went through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he had to have endurance to get through that. Read over in Acts chapter 14. They tried to stone him at first and early in the chapter, and then later in the chapter, they stoned him, left him for dead. But he got right back up. How did he get up? He had endurance. How did he get up? He had endurance. He got up and went to the next town and kept preaching, turned around and came back through Lystra and Derbe and kept on preaching. He could not have done that without endurance. God did not save you and I for us to quit halfway through the race. He expected you and I to start strong, to be strong in the middle, and he expects us to finish strong. I said, I wish I had an amen in here. But to do that, we need this second quality of endurance. Endurance says, I'm not going to quit. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care what they said. I don't care what people are saying. I don't care how bad it is. I refuse to quit. Endurance will see us through to the end. Back over in 1974, my dad and I, we were big boxing fans. And there was a famous fight. They say the fight of the century. Took place 1974. October really happened on the 29th, but by the time they saw it here, 4 a.m., it was really the 30th. October 29th, 1974, Zaire, Africa. Anybody know what that fight was called? Somebody tell me what that was. It was Muhammad Ali. The Rumble in the Jungle. It was George Foreman, Muhammad Ali. Big George, 22 or 25 years old, never been beaten. I think he had fought 40 times, had knocked out 37 of his opponents. Big George Foreman. Showed up in Zaire that night. And Ali beat him that night. Nobody thought he was going to win. Not even the people in his dressing room. When they came out of the dressing room, Ali is reported to have looked back at all of his entourage and said, how am I supposed to win this fight? Y'all don't even believe I can win it. Nobody thought he was going to win. And none of us in our neighborhood, we sure didn't think he was going to win. You say, what happened? Endurance. Endurance is how he won. You say, how? Well, he got this plan. He looked at George and at his boxing career, and what he realized is that George had never boxed late into any rounds. He had knocked so many people out, he never had to fight long. Big George had only fought a few rounds because by the few rounds went by, he knocked the person out. And Ali realized this. He's never been to the later rounds, and he may not have the endurance to last. In a 15-round fight, he may not have the endurance to last 15 rounds. And what Ali did was just laid on the ropes and let George punch at him and swing at him for 8 rounds. And toward the end of that 8 round, he put the rope-a-dope on him. All those rounds, he put the rope-a-dope on him. But toward the end of that 8 rounds, he got on his toes and he hit Big George with 3 or 4 what would have been normally average punches and knocked George smack out. And when they were asking him, how did you do it? How did you beat Big George? He knocked out 37 people. And Ali said, I didn't think he could go in the later rounds. I knew if I could get to the later rounds, he didn't have the endurance to hold out. And he caught him without this quality of endurance. And he beat Big George that night. We need this quality because when our faith is exercised, let me tell you this, endurance is the product. You know, in the morning, even this morning, over at the gym this morning and in my class this morning, I must say I felt pretty good at the beginning of the class. A few of us were talking, guy Russ and I were talking back and forth, another guy came over and talked, and we were saying, oh, man, I feel pretty good today. She said, you guys ready? The instructor. I said, let's get it going. I said that at the beginning of the class. By the end of the class, I was waving a white flag. I was like, man, I'm glad I barely endured to the end of that. But I will say, at the beginning of the class, I was lifting weight. And, you know, let me say real quick, look, I'm not talking about lifting a lot of weight. Sometimes you say you're lifting weights, people think you're lifting 200, 300 pounds. You're not. You're lifting 20 or 30 pounds, but you're making 800 reps. And so you're lifting those weights every way you can. So anyway, this morning, I lifted weight, you know, for me. And I thought when I had the bar on my back and doing squats, I thought I could not lift this weight last year. So something's happened between last year and this year that I'm able to lift more weights. You know what happened? I exercised those muscles in my back and my legs, and what happened is my endurance built. You understand what I'm saying? And so I can go further, lift more today than I could even a year ago. Faith works that same way. Faith works just like a muscle. And when we exercise faith, and that's why when something comes up against you, of some problem, some trial causes you to use your faith, causes you to have to exercise your faith grows and endurance is the product. And that's why the Bible said, have joy when you're going through it, because you are going to be able to endure more next year than you could this year. God is building something in you that will not quit, that will not give up, that will not relent, that will not turn around no matter how bad it is. You'll say, through Christ and Christ alone, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, yes, you will. But you've got to exercise your faith so that that product of endurance is developed. Hebrews 10:36 says, you have need of endurance, New American Standard. Hebrews 10:36, you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what's promised. Endurance. Oh, yeah. But thirdly, we've got to go quick now. We're round and third headed for home. We're going to have to dive at home like Pete Rose. Thirdly, ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. You need joy. You need to count it joy. Secondly, you need to exercise your faith. Thirdly, you need to ask God for wisdom. Don't just be acting in your own flesh and your own thoughts. You need to renew your mind and ask God for wisdom. You're going through a trial. You're going through a circumstance. You're going through a situation. You need the wisdom of God. You've got to have joy. You won't make it without endurance. But you also need the wisdom of God. And God said, James 1:5, if you ask him, he'll lavish his wisdom on you. But God said, don't ask me doubting. When you ask me for wisdom, ask me in faith, believing me to give it. And he said, if you don't ask me in faith, you shouldn't expect me to give it. And so we got to have wisdom. 2 Corinthians 11:32. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 11:32. It says, when I was in Damascus, the governor under King Artus kept guards at the city gates to catch me. And I had to be lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall to escape from him. One more. Acts 16:13 says, Paul went by land to Assos, where he arranged for us to join him while we traveled by ship. He joined us there and we sailed together. So what are you saying there? Well, Paul was using wisdom. Now, in the first reference, he says, they let me down. They let me escape. The king was trying to catch me, and they let me out down in a basket, down the wall, snuck out in a basket. Somebody said, well, he should have just used his faith. He might have been dead if he hadn't operated in wisdom. He lived to preach another day. And listen, if you're in a hole, whatever it is, financial hole, whatever it is, the worst thing you can do is keep on digging. If you're already in a hole, don't keep digging. That's wisdom. You got to do something different. That's not wisdom. And when you get the wisdom of God that day was to get in that basket and let them get him out of Dodge. In the second reference I gave you in Acts 16, listen, he traveled by land while Luke and the rest of the entourage, they traveled a different way. What was he doing? He was using wisdom. He was keeping them from catching him. Then Luke said, you know, when he caught up to us, then we all sailed together. But Paul went by land, they went another way. They were using the wisdom of God. And you'll have to use the wisdom of God. If you're going to overcome the voice of disappointment, you're going to have to know the joy of the Lord, your strength, and count it all joy. You're going to have to endure. You're going to have to exercise your faith so that endurance will build in you. And then you're going to have to ask God for wisdom. Oh, but if you'll count it joy, and if you'll exercise your faith so that endurance comes, and if you'll ask God for wisdom, the Lord himself will help you. The voice of disappointment will be drowned out with the voice of faith. Every head bowed. Father, we've endeavored to share tonight what you've laid on our heart. We know, even as we saw tonight when heads were bowed, that so many in here are dealing with disappointment, dealing with the voice of disappointment. But tonight we ask you to help your people. Oh, encourage them through the voice of the Holy Ghost, through the voice of Holy Scripture. Oh, Father God, through your voice of faith, encourage and lift people up. Father God, remind people that joy, oh, that the exercise of faith causing endurance, oh, Father God, them counting it all joy will lead them, Father God, to victory as they trust you, as they look to you. And Father God, we just thank you for your magnificent word tonight, for helping your people, for delivering your people through every situation they may be facing, every trial, every obstacle, every situation. Father, some here are in need of wisdom, and we thank you for speaking to them, showing them exactly what to do. Together we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, my friends, listen, that's it for tonight. Did we have anybody who was first-time guests? We did. You first-time guests, we got a great gift for you on behalf of our senior pastors and all the congregation here. And if you'll go with our Connection Team members, they're not going to keep you long. They're just going to give you a great gift. So if you would, go with them right now. Let's applaud for them one more time. All right. If you need prayer for something, that's what these anointed folks are up here for. They're ready to agree with you, and they'll help you. You need wisdom, or you want to pray about the joy of the Lord or the exercise of your faith, come up here, talk to them, whatever you need tonight. Salvation, whatever, baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're anointed, ready to pray. Ladies, come to the ladies. Guys, come to the guys. All right, stand up on your feet. Lift one hand to the Lord. Father, we thank you now unto our King, eternal, immortal, invisible, our only wise God, the glory and honor forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.